Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time in Rancho Cucamonga at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. And if you can't join us in person, we'd love to have you join us on our live stream. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you could watch all of our services, our weekly worship services, our weekly sermons, our weekly children's messages on our YouTube channel, which is The Seed Christian Fellowship. It is our prayer that as believers in Jesus Christ, we come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. Well, we're in a little series called Fellowship of His Suffering, and I'm going to call this the Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Last week's message was pretty hard. Jesus promised us that if the world hates us, we need to remember that the world hated him first. Knowing we will be hated is a tough word to swallow. Knowing that we will suffer in our time of following Christ, that is hard. I challenged all of us last week to join the FOHS, F-O-H-S, Fellowship of His Suffering. Sometimes when we're suffering, it helps to remember the suffering of Christ. None of us has had the mark on suffering. Jesus was crucified. He understands our suffering. When you don't know how to carry on, remember that your suffering joins with His. In Philippians 3, 10 and 11, it's really my life verse. It says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Verse 13 says, not that I have already attained or been made perfect, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Well, today we will look at FOHS, F-O-H-S, Part 2, Fellowship of the Holy Spirit this time. When we join the FOHS, the Fellowship of His Suffering, we also join the Fellowship of the Holy Spirit to help us walk with Jesus throughout our life. We're still in the upper room with Jesus. Jesus had just promised His disciples that they would suffer with Him. Now Jesus promises His followers the person, the power, and the presence of the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will guide them, teach them, comfort them, and challenge them. Before we turn to God's words of life, let us come to the One who offers us eternal life. Let us pray the Holy Spirit prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy His consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in John chapter 16. Verses 1 through 16. Listen for God's word. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to Him who sent me, yet none of you asked me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. That is John chapter 16, 1 to 16. I want to take just a quick moment and thank each and every one of you for all the notes and cards that we've gotten. I just finished my doctorate. Back when I first went to seminary in 1994, I really thought I would work on my doctorate and settle down in my first church. And to be honest with you, since that day, I've been running pretty fast and pretty hard to keep my head above water with all the ministries and mission work. When I was in seminary, I thought I would write my doctoral thesis on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. I have always been in love with the Holy Spirit. I know that that sounds strange. I have always waited, watched, listened, and learned from the Holy Spirit. So I was sure that I would write my first book or doctorate papers on the third person of the Trinity. To me, the Holy Spirit is not a mystery, but the Holy Spirit is a mighty third person of the Trinity. The peace, the power, and the presence of the Holy Spirit levels me in an unlevel world. To be honest with you, I truly wish we had all the time in the world to talk about the person, the promises, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I realize that many people are confused, afraid, and even opposed to the Holy Spirit. When I first started interviewing to be a pastor, I even had a church end up with a tie vote because the church was split on the person of the Holy Spirit. They asked me to preach and teach a Bible study on the Holy Spirit. They were afraid. Listen, I was 40 years old and a businessman. I knew better than to walk into a church pulpit with a 50-50 percentage rate. Well, let us run through the Bible for a minute and set the stage for the Holy Spirit. I believe that the word Spirit, capital S, Spirit, and Spirit of God and Holy Spirit, are used around 207 times in the Old Testament. The word for Spirit is Ruach. It's very guttural, it's Ruach, which can be translated with the words breath, wind, or spirit. And the Greek word for spirit is pneuma, and it's translated with words like breath, wind, and spirit. The word pneuma is used 367 times in the New Testament. If you're a mathematician, you've already added it up, but it's 574 times, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the word spirit, Ruach, or pneuma. Those words are used. The first time the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God is used is in the opening verses of Genesis, when we are told, "Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters," Genesis 1:2. In chapter 2 of Genesis, we find that God is breathing life, the life of his Spirit, into Adam when he is created out of the dust of the earth. We find that many of the people of the Old Testament are filled with the Spirit of God. People like Moses and Joshua, Samuel, David, and the judges recorded in the book of Judges, plus the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah and other prophets. In Ezekiel chapter 36, we find the valley of dry bones being filled with the Spirit coming to life. David writes in Psalm 51 and asks God to not take the Holy Spirit from him. Over and over again in the Old Testament, we find statements that say, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. The reference to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, and the Holy Spirit fill the Old Testament. When we come to the New Testament, we find the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary and the incarnation of Christ takes place. John the Baptist is baptizing the people in the Jordan River and declares, I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, John 3:11. Come on, that deserves an amen. I think that passage is a forerunner to the promise of the foes, the fellowship of his suffering and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, after the resurrection, Jesus prepares to ascend into heaven and tells the disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 2 of Acts, we're told that the Holy Spirit falls with tongues of fire and a mighty rushing wind. All the people are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the disciples go out and preach the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says in Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Peter preaches to all who are gathered, and they're cut to the heart, and they cry out, "What must we do? God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact," Peter says. "Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear," Acts chapter 2, 32 and 33. Wow. He says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Promises for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourself from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and our prayer team at The Seed Christian Fellowship would love to pray for you. Go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the prayer link and write your prayer. If you have a question or a special prayer, you can always email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship. My prayer is that we'll all grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. We've been looking at the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And we just read Acts chapter 2, 32 and 33, where the Holy Spirit falls and Peter goes out and preaches a message of repentance. Pause and ponder the birth of the church. Praise God for the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And let us remember every time we praise God, Psalm 22:3 tells us, "He inhabits the praises of his people." Maybe we should just stop and praise God and let him inhabit our praises. Praise God. Fellowship with the person of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. Listen to what it says in John 16:7. We read it at the beginning of this message. Jesus says to the disciples that are gathered around him, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." When Jesus tells the disciples about the Holy Spirit, he speaks of the Holy Spirit in the terms of he, the pronoun he. Jesus uses the pronoun he 11 times in verses 7 through 16 in John chapter 16 to describe the person of the Holy Spirit. In fact, this is a good teaching of the Trinity, even though the word Trinity is not used. The Holy Spirit is called the Counselor here in verse 7. The Greek word is parakletos, which means counselor, helper, advocate, encourager, mediator, helper, intercessor, and comforter. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. This third person will be your counselor, helper, advocate, encourager, mediator, helper, intercessor, and comforter. Listen again to what Jesus says. When he comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment in regard to sin because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. The Holy Spirit convicts. Let's talk about that for just a moment. Apart from the Holy Spirit, as human beings, we truly do not understand spiritual realities or truths. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to bring to the world's consciousness three things: a correct perception of sin, a correct perception of righteousness, and a correct perception of judgment. The Holy Spirit brings the guilt of sin home to the human consciousness or the human heart. As humans, men and women, we will seek relief from the guilt of sin through many things. But the only true relief comes from the mercy of God. We see this in the record of Acts chapter 2 regarding the day of Pentecost when the people are quick to the heart and they cry out, "What must we do?" The saying, "What you don't know won't hurt you," is certainly not true here. Jorge Rodriguez was a Mexican bank robber who operated along the Texas border around the turn of the century. He was so successful in his forays with the Texas Rangers assigned an extra posse to the Rio Grande to stop him. Late one afternoon, one of the special rangers saw Jorge slipping stealthily across the river, and he trailed him at a discreet distance as he returned to his home village. He watched as Jorge first mingled with the people in the square around the town well, then went into his favorite cantina to relax. The ranger slipped into the cantina as well and managed to get the drop on Jorge. With a pistol at Jorge's head, he said, "I know who you are, Jorge Rodriguez, and I've come to get back all the money you have stolen from the banks of Texas. Unless you give it to me, I'm going to pull the trigger." But there was a problem. Jorge did not speak English, and the Texas Ranger did not know Spanish. The two adults were at, well, a verbal impasse. About that time, an enterprising villager said, "I'm bilingual. Do you want me to act as a translator?" The ranger nodded, and the villager proceeded to put the words of the ranger into terms Jorge could understand. Nervously, Jorge answered, "Tell the big Texas Ranger that I have not spent a cent of the money. If he will go to the town well, face north, and count down five stones, he'll find a loose one there, pull it out, and all the money is behind it. Please tell him quickly." The little translator assumed a solemn look and said to the ranger in perfect English, "Jorge Rodriguez is a brave man. He says he's ready to die." Oh, my goodness. One's ignorance of sin, righteousness, and judgment will ultimately bring eternal hurt. The Holy Spirit is the divine remedy, the divine cure. In verse 8, the word translated convict means to cross-examine with the purpose of convincing or refuting an opponent. The Holy Spirit does not simply convict the world, but shows that it is lacking in knowledge of what sin and righteousness really are. Most of us today have some kind of GPS in our vehicles or smartphones. GPS stands for Global Positioning System. We use the maps on our phones or car, and they direct us or guide you on right paths to your destination. I suggest that GPS stands for God's Positioning Spirit, God's Protecting Spirit, God's Present Spirit to help you, to guide you, to guard you, to encourage you. And remember, the Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. When the Bible says he will guide you into all truth, that's a way of saying that the Holy Spirit will be the steering wheel of your life. There are two ways to get to your destination. One way is to look at a map and figure it out yourself as you drive. Another way is to have someone drive you who already knows where you're going. The challenge for us today is to allow the Holy Spirit to drive us to the right decision, to the right destination. When we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, we will bring glory to God Almighty. The fellowship with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about that for just a few moments. He says in John 16:15, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In the late Professor Drummond's book, The Greatest Thing in the World, he tells of meeting with natives in the interior of Africa who remembered David Livingstone. They could not understand a word he uttered, but they recognized the universal language of love through which he appealed to them. He had been many years since the Christian hero had passed their way, but the very remembrance of his presence among them would kindle a friendly smile. It is this very same universal language of love, divine, Christ-like love, that we must have if we are going to be used of God. The world does not understand theology or dogma, but it understands love, empathy, and sympathy. A loving act may be more powerful and far-reaching than the most elegant sermon. Each Sunday, as you walk in and out of the sanctuaries where you worship, at our church, when we walk in and out, we pass two items in the hallway in the sanctuary. We have a mirror and a picture of Jesus. The image of Jesus is formed by the words of the Gospel of John. What a great illustration to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Each Sunday, you'll hear a message, and then you go out into your world and your job to be the gospel. People may forget what I say, but I pray that they'll never forget the loving kindness of Christ. In the book, The Ascent of a Leader, Bruce McNichol and Bill Thrall tell of a woman who has a dream where she wanders into a shop at a mall and finds Jesus behind the counter. Jesus says, "You can have anything your hearts desire." Astounded, but pleased, she asks for peace, joy, happiness, wisdom, and freedom from fear. Then she adds, "Not just for me, but for the whole world." Jesus smiles and says, "I think you misunderstood me. I don't sell fruits, only seeds." I like that because I pastor the Seed Christian Fellowship, and we want you to plant seeds. Have you ever watched any of the SB mowing YouTubes? Let me tell you a little secret. My wife loves watching those videos, and I'd love to show you a clip of a man on an SB mowing. He pulls up to what looks like a real mess of a piece of property, right? And then he goes to work trimming the edges, finding hidden patios and sidewalks, pruning the trees and hedging the bushes. The other day, I asked my wife why she loves the SB mowing videos. She said, "Honey, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. He pulls up with his truck and trailer full of garden supplies, and then he knocks on the door and gets permission to have a whack at it." It never ceases to amaze me how the Holy Spirit works in my life to help me with my weekly messages. Honestly, how many times does our children's ministry director, Miss Sherry, come in here to give a children's message? And seriously, we can just all go home because she has given a powerful message. Last week, we talked about the fellowship of his suffering, part one, and the fellowship of his suffering. This week, we talk about the fellowship of his suffering, part two, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. My prayer is that we'll all grow in the power of God. Let's pray. God, we give thanks that the Holy Spirit comes in power and presents you and teaches us all truth in Jesus' name. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. My prayer is that you'll really know God loves you. God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.